Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, guess what?
What'd it do?
Clover is a great social media app, and it's one of our sponsors now.
Right.
Clover Live helps you find people nearby who share your interests and want to chat now. You can live stream your special moments, live chat with your friends, make video calls, and watch the hottest streams. Whether you're into sports talk, music, or just meeting beautiful people, Clover has something for everyone. Drinking, dancing, gaming, chatting, just one tap to go live or watch others live. Whether you're out on errands or home alone, anytime, night or day, there's always someone there to share your moment. And the features on this app are fantastic. You can live chat with thousands of talented streamers locally and worldwide. You can go live instantly. You can build a following. You can earn cash on this app. You can chat with other users and meet new people. And you can do private live video chats. It's a great way to make friends. Every night's a party. You can find your tribe, people with your interests, and communicate with them. You can kill boredom with friends on the go wherever you are. And it's way more fun than the other streaming apps. Don't miss out. It's all happening over at Clover Live. And don't wait. Join Clover Live. Broadcast your life. Gain new followers. Get gifts and be an icon. Download Clover on the App Store or Google Play. And the testimonials for this product are fantastic. You know, like some people say, streaming on Clover has been so much fun. I'm very thankful they get to be part of the community. Time just flies by and it's nothing short of wonderful. Clover is a different way to find people who enjoy the same things as you. I started out looking for friends but ran into some impossible keepers. It's a great dating app. The live streams give you the chance to see more than just a profile photo or description. It's great. I'd say check it out. So everybody should check out Clover Live. It's a great community, great way to meet people, great way to date, talk sports. It's just a fantastic app.
I went under. It's very easy to use. And the thing, you know, I found a real cool group that was into Miami Hurricanes college football, which I'm into. And then I found another cool group. Boston Celtics basketball, obviously they're going to be playing today, and some really interesting, cool, spirited conversations. And then I just looked through some of the things there. They have everything there. If you're into golfing, they have a golfing group. Hunting, they have a hunting group. They have anything you can think about, dating groups. What groups are you in, Joe? Because you initially started this. You're the one that told me about it.
Yeah, like I was saying to Disco earlier, I'm trying to get back into basketball. I was a really big basketball fan in the 90s, so I found some groups regarding 90s basketball, even a 76ers group. I've looked into some of the rock music groups, whether you talk about 80s, 90s, rock, whatever. And it's just fun, man. Everybody's interacting. Everybody's having a good time. I noticed there's a lot of stuff for the dating scene too, if that's what you're into. So check that out. Good way to meet people, get some dates. And I would highly recommend it.
Here's a great thing I liked about it. And I don't know if you noticed this, Joe.
Yeah.
A lot, you know, you don't have that huge negativity that you see on a lot of other places. Everybody's just kind of there to be really chill and just talk about what they like to talk about.
That's exactly right.
So go on there for your dating, for your sports, for your, you know, music, whatever. There's a group for everybody.
And wrestling too, because I'm sorry, but I mentioned it in the other ad that I actually found a wrestling group and there were some K100 listeners already in there. So there you go.
Wrestling, everything. Okay, go check out Clover on the App Store and Google Play. Get your chat on. Boom.
This next one's from Eggs, More Eggs. Subject is Heel Rousey. As great as the I Quit match with Charlotte Flair was, you really got to be a hater to not give that match the full credits due. I think I can speak for everyone, when I say that there's a weird dullness to the return of Ronda Rousey. My question for K100 is, would a heel turn help matters? I'm sure that you guys can remember that before Mania 35, Rousey turned heel and was acting all cunty in her promos, making shoot comments, etc., and it was really good. Then she got hurt, then pregnant, and the pandemic happened, which left years between her return. So do you guys think that Rousey turning heel as a violent, bitchy, bully character could work, or do you think that the bloom is off the rose and people just don't care? They could turn her heel in the next match against Raquel Rodriguez if she pulls out like a chain or something and knocks her out with it after that the girl's taking like 90% of the match again. You know, she could cheat to beat that girl and she would be a heel, you know, like, I mean, if they run it back the same way where the other girl, where she's taking, you know, she's giving all the match to the other girl. I don't know. I mean, I'm not, it's funny that she does get a decent pop out when she comes out. Like the she still does have that aura a little bit for that fan base because they still
right because she's her, one of these you know? People like Chuck Liddell that no matter what he's always going to get props because he's the Iceman, you know, he's right. One of the originals. Ken Shamrock, so he's going to get props, you know, because he's just such a fucking badass, you know. Kurt Angle's always going to get props.
Tito.
Ronda Rousey's going to get props because she was the second woman after Gina Carano, but she even made it bigger than Gina Carano. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that Ronda is one of these people that's kind of like you can tell she's disingenuous and that's not really her. And you saw her, the real her, when Misha Tate got in her face. Remember in UFC and she acted like a bitch?
Mm-hmm.
And I think she really kind of is like that. She doesn't like people that don't put her over. And so I think she's a natural heel and she should be a heel. This fucking smiley bullshit she does not fit her at all.
Next is from Mike Blackburn and the subject is Cornette or Bischoff. Hey, this mic coming to you straight from the 540, the Shenandoah Valley. Keeping it brief so you can read a grip of them. Did you ever see the movie Shenandoah?
No.
It's a movie, a Civil War movie from years and years ago. Really good movie. It was one of my favorite movies growing up. Cornette went on Bischoff on his podcast about his comments on Punk. His co-host said some things to make it seem like Bischoff was irrelevant and not on the same level as Cornette. As a fan, I think Bischoff accomplished way more in the business than Cornette. To you guys, who is a better resume, Bischoff or Cornette? Cornette, be easy. That's from Mike. I'd say it has to be Bischoff, okay? Because Cornette like lost a lot of jobs. You know what I'm saying? Bischoff has more. You know, here's the thing: as a performer, okay, Cornette's resume is better, but Bischoff's is not bad at all. He was a good on-screen character,
right?
During a period of like massive business,
yeah.
You know, like, well, one of the highest periods of business ever, and he was one of the
This is where Bischoff trumps Cornette.
Where?
And this is the only thing, really. This will follow him forever, and it should. He's the only guy to whoop Vince McMahon's ass for 83 weeks.
Yeah.
That in itself is an accomplishment.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, bro, that Cornette and Bischoff are beefing. You need to put all that shit to the side, bro. We're in the same fucking industry and work together.
This is the funny thing. It's like this fan base will like will target like use this data point. And Tony Khan even talked about it the other day. When he in the media scrum, they talk about like them going head to head on a Friday night when SmackDown was on FS1 and Rampage was on, you know, TNT, and they had an overrun. And in the demo of the overrun for like that 15-minute period, AEW beat SmackDown. Okay, Eric beat them like decisively for a year and a half.
on Monday.
Over a year and a half.
On Monday, real day that counts.
Going head to head. It's like it's hysterical. You just look at it from that perspective. It's like you guys have got a very, very, very long way to go. It's like don't count your W's because you don't really have any W's.
Well, you got to remember two things, bro. For a company that had only been around 2-3 years, that's a big accomplishment. They did beat them once, no matter what network they were on. It's still WWE, and bro, they're gonna try to promote anything they can to make it look, you know what I'm saying? That's right. Just promoting 101, dude.
Right. Next is from Danny Trouble, and the subject is Johnny Buried. Last year when Karrion Kross debuted on Raw, it was a very exciting time for a lot of his fans because Kross is awesome. We all thought he was going to be the next big deal for WWE. Then WWE had him booked to lose his debut match in about 3 minutes or less, and the IWC went apeshit with people talking about insanely dumb of a booking choice that was. Jump forward to late May, John Morrison debuts on AEW Dynamite and loses to Samoa Joe 7 days later. Morrison returns to AEW Dynamite and loses to Miro. I haven't seen the IWC crying about how Morrison is buried. Conan Disco and Feeney, what do you think about AEW's booking of John Morrison? AEW has like something like 165 wrestlers on the roster. At least 100 of them aren't being used. So why sign Morrison just to have him lose? And Sean Ross Sapp is a prick. Yeah, it's a good question. Bro, the question is, why did they sign him? If this is what you – there's literally no reason to sign this guy if this is your vision for using him. So it's a waste of money. Well, they signed too many people. They have way too many people for not being like weekly, for not doing going on the road weekly, you know?
Yeah, but Johnny looks great. He's still super athletic, and he has recognition just coming off WWE TV.
What's so difficult to understand? If he needs to get in line. It's okay, so them bringing him in, where in the pecking order would you put this guy in the line of people that haven't really been pushed like they should and they've been signed?
Yeah. Do you think
he's at the back of the line,
Conan? You've said sometimes they bring a guy in and they'll have him do jobs to test him. Do you think that they had Johnny lose his first couple matches?
Oh, test him?
Yeah,
the guy lost a bad bunny. What do you got to fucking test? He understands the fucking business. He's not difficult, and everybody in this business knows who's difficult and who isn't. John Morrison is not difficult. And I said it last week, and I'll repeat it again. I don't know why they brought him in to do two fucking jobs. The guy looks great. He's great on the promo. He's a good guy. He can still bring it. That was fucking stupid. He's fresh off of WWE TV. I don't understand why they did that. I don't think he signed, by the way. But I don't understand why they brought him in with so many other fucking guys you could have done that with just to bury Morrison. I need that explained to me.
Yeah.
Maybe because he's an outside talent. Like they brought Cass in for one night and beat him too. Maybe it's because he's not signed.
Like I said. But
this wasn't once. This was twice.
Yeah.
Next is from Hank Beanie. The subject is Disco's white suit. Disco, while I asked a question about wrestling memorabilia, you mentioned that you sold your white suit a long time ago. What is the history behind the white suit? Where did you buy it? And do you know who you sold it to? I'm curious if it was one of those MILFs that was obsessed with you, if it was Money Mark like Conrad. I have no idea who bought it. I sold it through a third party. And it just, bro, I just had it made that we had this late. The funny thing about it was I used Bagwell's seamstress. Okay, she charged $1,500, and they were supposed to like reimburse me, but WCW said that was too expensive.
Mm.
I'm like, so I didn't really start off on the right foot with WCW because like basically they stiffed me on that, but I didn't mind. It's
they didn't reimburse you at all. They didn't say, hey, we'll pay up to $500 or something.
No, I started making more money. I didn't care. Yeah. So it was like, it didn't matter. Next is from Mike Durbin. And the subject is MLW Chicago status. Hail to the Minister of Truth. Hail to the Minister of Truth, Gilberti. Hola, Conan. This morning I got an email notifying me that I had been refunded $74 for my front row ticket for MLW's TV taping here in Chicago on July 16th. No explanation was given in the email, nor have I seen anything on MLW's social media. Was the event canceled, or did you tell Court Bauer to refund my money because I'm such a great good friend of yours? I really hope the event wasn't canceled. I was looking forward to chilling in the cut, and he puts that in capital letters, with me, amigo, while you're here.
Yeah, you and I would not have been chilling in the cut. That's
please
number one.
He's not over yet. He says he wants you to please clarify. That's
what
Mike Durbin.
Okay, that's what I'm doing. You and I would not have been chilling in the cut unless you brought some weed and some food, and then even then it would be a very short chilling. And the other thing is,
he spelled chilling, by the way, with the G on the end.
Of course he did.
And not only that, I think the show's continuing. They just don't want you there. Nothing.
Well, it does. Yeah, Mike, it does show on the, to step on Conan's joke there, it does show, it doesn't show up on their website, so perhaps it was canceled.
Interesting.
They're doing a double taping in September, and they're redoing that July show, I think, in El Paso.
Next is, yeah, because right now, I mean, there's two markets right now that you don't need to run in. Chicago and Vegas.
Right.
It's completely saturated. Like, we've had shows here for, what do we have, 5 shows in a month here? Like, come on, yeah. And Chicago, too. It's like, you, I mean, it's
just something gets hot, and everybody goes to it, and everybody wants to do it, and then they saturate the fucking market.
Next is from MK Floor, subject is Day One Listener. As the title reads, Day Two Listener. Even listen back in the MLW radio days, I have to tell you that while I understand Bill Boddy delivers news to you, guy is just too racist for me. I look at his timeline on Twitter and wow, cringeworthy. I'm not that person who says I'm not going to listen anymore, but I will use that fast forward button to make this show a little shorter. Other than that, I enjoy the show. Okay, so there's no question, whatever. But bro, Bill Boddy's not, does not come across as racist to me at all. He's a little like, you know, rough around the edges, but we had a conversation when he first started the show. I was shocked that he, because he doesn't like the social justice words. But remember when we first had him on, he said he wouldn't vote for Trump because of racism. And I was like,
well, not
really?
Only that,
like,
bro. If I'm not mistaken, one of his parents is black and the other one's Pakistan. So if anybody knows about racism, it's him.
Yeah, he's just not a soul. He's just not in this.
Not a snowflake, bro.
Right.
And he's very opinionated, and he rubs people the wrong way because he trolls them.
He does troll.
Then he gets mad when he gets trolled,
which
is like, bro, if you're going to troll, you better be able to fucking stand the heat.
Right. So next is from but I like Billy on the first of all, the main reason I like Billy is because I like talking sports with the guy, and he is one of the best handicappers in the world.
You know, it's like good wrestling news that we don't even fucking know about.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So next is from MK. Hang on. This is a different one. Next is from Jose Perez, and subject is Triple R. I live close a few hours from the border and like to attend Triple Mania and TJ. How can I purchase tickets online? Should I just go to the arena and buy tickets the day of the show? P.S. I hope Boston loses the NBA Finals. Oh, my God. Conan, should we...
You will not get answered for going out of your way for being a dick.
Okay. All right. Wait a second. This guy is a guy that wants to purchase tickets for the show.
I don't give a shit. You don't bury the Celtics. Wow. Get online and find out for yourself.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask this question to Kleinrock. I don't think Conan's going to answer it out of principle. Next is from R., and the subject is would-be second-generation wrestlers. Greetings, Kate. Should we suspend Jose Perez from the mailbag, too, for a week?
Yes.
Subject is
would-be... Oh, you got that?
Yes.
All right, thanks.
Subject is would-be second-generation wrestlers. Greetings, K-Dog and crew. In today's era, the wrestling fans are well aware of the many second- and third-generation wrestlers that are in the business. Recently discovered Tito Santana has a grown daughter that didn't grow up with him, who has begun training at FSW Vegas. My question is, are there many stories of people entering wrestling either claiming to be the son, daughter of a superstar, or a legit child a wrestler had out of wedlock who tried to break in? Thanks in advance for your reply. Sincerely, that's RV from Sacramento. Is this Russian vids?
Mm.
No, it's not. Okay. There's a lot of history in wrestling now, and there's, you know, with indie wrestling blowing up and the internet, there's been a ton of wrestlers. Like, you're just going to get a lot of second-generation wrestlers because a lot of these people are having kids, getting older and stuff. And, like, you know, it's just par for the course, you know? I mean, I don't know if there's a lot of people claiming that there's, you know. First of all, you can't really claim to be a relative of, like, a known wrestler because that's very easy to look up, okay? Now, if you're going to work it, you could. And if you're going to work it, say, hey, I've actually had girls at the club. My uncle was a wrestler. What was his name? And somebody I'd never heard of. Right. You know, so it's a lot of people like that. But it's like, you know, but if I haven't
heard
of you.
Bro, in Mexico, there's a lot of guys that they're like, I'm the son of so-and-so, and there's no way to find out because the guy's dead. Or, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, how do you know, right?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Now, you don't – I'm thinking to myself, you don't look like him.
Well, here's the one thing with second-generation wrestlers, okay? Second-generation wrestlers have a little bit easier – path into the business. However, if you're not talented, you're not going to make it even if you are a second-generation wrestler. But if you are a talented second-generation wrestler, you kind of have that second-generation privilege a little bit. you know, because like the boys take care of the families and stuff, you know, like let's say Dominic Mysterio gets fired from WWE. There's probably an open door for him to come work at AAA. Would you agree with that, Conan?
Who?
Dominic.
Yes.
Because that's his boy taking right. That's how it works, you know. Guys take care of their friends. And if that includes their friends' kids, and you got somebody in charge, they just do that. But they have to be talented. If they're not talented, usually.
Yeah, you know, I would never give a spot to Dominic that he didn't earn, and he knows that. You know, and he appreciates that. He'd always have a job with me, though. You know.
Right. Exactly. Next is from Ben, and the subject is Spanish Fly. What's up, boys? My least favorite move in wrestling is the Spanish Fly. It requires 100% opponent cooperation. It sucks me out of the suspension of disbelief and makes me roll my eyes. Imagine a barroom brawl grabbing the guy and doing a backflip with them against their will. Are there any moves you feel similarly about? I'm not a fan of the Spanish Fly. But honestly, it's done very, very rarely. What do you see? Well, like one of every few months on these shows, you know. But
a little more frequent.
Okay, Ben, let me explain something to you because I hear this people conflate this all the time, and it's not, you know. Nobody would do a Spanish Fly in a bar fight, okay? This is not a bar fight. This is a wrestling match, okay? Just like people wouldn't do a pile driver in a fucking street fight either. This is a wrestling match, okay? Go ahead.
All right. You know what, though? I would say this. I'd say the concept needs to be held to the principle that it is a fight. You know what I'm saying? Like you.
But
you
it isn't. It's a wrestling match. It's a wrestling, and you could be brawling.
Guys are fighting.
You could
each
be
other,
brawling.
You know?
You could be doing a high spot. That could be just a finish. Come on, Glenn. But if it's an all-out brawl, you know that's it's different. If you're trying to paint something, you could still finish it with a Spanish Fly through a table or something like that. If it's done logically and correctly, it's okay. It's a wrestling match.
Here's what I would conflate it with. Here's what I would say. I'd say that wrestling mirrors the type of competition, even though it's a work, that you would see in real wrestling, boxing, and MMA. Okay. However, the guys will do acrobatic things because there is a ring and some things you can do out there. And I would equate, but the thing is like acrobatics to me are things like you do after like you score a touchdown. Like if a guy stands and he does a backflip or stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like you wouldn't, there's some things you wouldn't do if you were trying to, like, you know, trying to win a contest that's competing on the premise of MMA, boxing, wrestling. And in wrestling, you just kind of do some of these things. And it's accepted. And it's like,
bro,
you know,
that wrestling's different because wrestling's taking stuff from MMA, from boxing, from wrestling. You have run-ins. You have in-rings. You have, you know, you turn off the lights. You've got cage matches. It's our own fucking universe with our own rules. We do whatever the fuck we want. And within that universe, it's accepted. Mm-hmm. And wrestling's changed. You know, it's now basically the majority are kind of like nerds and shit. And they like a different type of wrestling.
Yeah. Next is from Nuno Goncalo. And that's subject is two questions. Good afternoon, guys. I have two questions. First question. In terms of credibility, what do you guys think about wrestling journalists when instead of trying to give the audience real information about wrestlers or wrestling angles, since they are journalists, they give opinions but treat them as facts? Question number two. Second question specific to Conan. Conan is a former wrestler. How do you see when Dave Meltzer presents himself as a real journalist and demands respect from his peers, fans, and even young wrestlers, but constantly talks shit against Cornette, a veteran of the wrestling business who is one of the greatest managers ever, paid his dues, has a passion for wrestling like very few people alive, learn from wrestling legends like Dusty, Bobby, Christine Jarrett, Jerry Jarrett, Bill Watts, Ernie Ladd, and was essential in the development of future generations in OVW with the help of Danny Davis and Tom Pritchard, of course, and a guy that Meltzer's friend and defended him many times. I do not think that a professional journalist or commentator should refer to veterans of a sport or whatever activity that he's covering as he is out of touch, it's sad, or only have ideas from 30, 40 years ago just because he disagrees with him in a matter of opinion. And Meltzer's a lot older than Jim Cornette. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work. Best regards from Portugal. Before Conan answers this, I got to make a point. I don't know does this guy listen to Cornette? Cornette buries Dave. Buries Dave.
He does?
You can't sit there. Why does Dave bury? Because Cornette literally goes on these 30-minute rants burying Dave. But go ahead. That question was specific for you, Cody. But I don't know if I don't even think you listen to a lot of Cornette. But Cornette,
I don't listen to Cornette
Meltzer
at all because I just don't have time. I love Cornette because he's hilarious.
Right.
But like I said about Cornette and Bischoff, I wish they'd fucking stop their beefing and, you know, be cool. And same thing with Meltzer and him. I don't like to see them beefing. You know what I'm saying? And I've never – it almost sounds from your letter like you're a Cornette fan and you're not a Meltzer fan. That's how it comes off to me. And I was going to answer same thing as Glenn. Cornette buries him all the time. What do you want him to do, put him over? So, I mean – and I've never seen Dave demand respect from his peers or the fans. Dave's not like that, bro, and I do know him.
Right. Let me – and this is – in terms of – this is a question too, but question the first question. And I think this is a broader answer here. The question was, again, in terms of credibility, what do you guys think about wrestling journalists when instead of trying to give the audience real information about wrestlers and wrestling angles, since they are journalists, to give opinions but treat them as facts? Dude, look at any journalism these days. It's the exact same thing going on CNN, Washington Post, New York. Bro, these journalists are getting – journalists, like the wrestling journalists are getting ripped – our journalists are getting ripped in real life. Did you see the story about this Taylor Lorenz, that chick from that doxed the girl from Libs of TikTok? And like she did the exact same thing. Okay, so Taylor Lorenz is a Washington Post journalist, if you want to call her that, and she's constantly like getting caught posting things that need to be edited.
Right.
Like the edit, like, you know, and stuff like, because then because she's doing the same thing that wrestling journalists do. Giving her opinion, and she gets stuff wrong and stuff. And you see that across the board. Okay, now I, as an intelligent person, are very clear minded when I consume media. Like, I'm not reading something, and especially these days, you used to watch the news and things would happen and they tell you what happened, and you know, bro. So like, if you watch like local news these days. Local news is kind of like old school news, sort of. It's kind of more to the point. They tell you what happened. It's a shorter version. It's only on for like a half hour, and they got to get everything in, so they don't have time for the editorial privilege to explain everything. Right? It's kind of short and sweet. Every other media I consume or watch, like, I have enough like resources to investigate these things myself and see if they're true. You know what I'm saying? But especially like when something happens, like what happened with the MJF thing, and all these guys reported stuff that was inaccurate, you know, and stuff, and like, and they're, you know, I mean, it is what it is. This is the same thing is happening in other media. This is like, if you think this is specific to professional wrestling, you watch too much professional wrestling, because this is like par for the course these days. And these people are like, a lot of these, if you're looking like to these editorial boards, right? And you look at the bios of some of the people that write, and like you read their timelines and stuff. It's like, why would anybody want to listen or read to anything this person has to say? This person comes across as an idiot. You know, that's why I do a lot. Like, if I see I read an article, and it's like, I'll look at the person's Twitter. I'll look, God, what a schmuck this guy is. You know, but that's journalism these days. Anybody with a keyboard can put stuff out, and if people read it, you're kind of like a journalist. So.
Well, you know what's weird about this, because I didn't know what the girl's name was, but I do know what you're talking about, is that, you know, when the Washington Post had edited her article so she wouldn't look bad, because they actually edited it, why hasn't this chick been fired or reprimanded? This is twice she's done this.
It's more it's times than that. She's done things like she complained where people were harassing her. Okay, and like she went on TV and cried about it, and then she went and does the exact same thing to people, and right. Doesn't understand that it's like hypocritical position. You know, right.
And here's a problem, because I said this before, but it's worth mentioning. When we were young, and I'm going to say some names that people probably don't even know who the fuck they are, but look them up. But when you had guys, you know, like Walter Cronkite or Harry Reasoner, you know. What was that guy from 60 Minutes? That was always very controversial. I forgot his fucking name. But anyways, these were all credible journalists that they were willing to say, hey, the United States is pulling the wool over your eyes. What they're telling you about Vietnam isn't true. You know, they were there to inform the public. But the minute that 60 Minutes came on the air and they figured out that they could make ratings through news, that's when this whole culture started, you know, and now it's more important to get views than to get facts correctly. And right. That's where we're in right now. You know, yeah. You don't have hardly any real journalist.
Did Denzel watch, bro, Joe, pull up on, go on YouTube.
Yeah.
Pull up that little like 1 minute Denzel Washington rant on journalism. Like go in the search engine, Denzel Washington on journalism, right? And he sums it up perfectly, right? But I'll let everybody listen to that. Next is from Nick Reed, and the subject is Selfish Punk. G'day, fellas. Punk refused to drop the belt and said crown an interim champ is beyond stupid. My guess is Punk wanted to keep it because he's egotistical and selfish, and given Tony Khan is in love with him, decided to go down this path. My question is, if it was Adam Page or anyone else for that matter who got injured whilst champ, do you think they'd have to have done the same thing? P.S. I have a suggestion. I suggest you stick to your rule and not take any suggestions from everyone. Should we suspend this guy for that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's still a suggestion.
Trying to be funny and it isn't.
Right. I will say this is, bro, this is, the, I mean, AEW is their own deal. They got their own principles. They got their own way of doing this. They got rankings and stuff. My guess is Punk, being a guy that was in UFC, was like, well, I should just be like, just do what the UFC does.
That is
the
what
guy keeps the belt.
And how do we know? Right, how do we know he didn't refuse to drop it? And it was Tony's
right.
idea.
So yeah,
we
right.
really don't know.
Nonsense. And it's no big deal. It's right. absolutely no big deal at all. They got the, you know, they take
you,
him.
Right.
They have
you a, obviously he, don't like Punk.
And they've
right.
done here's, this before. They made Sammy the interim TNT champ when Cody was out for a couple of weeks. So it's there's
but
a precedent
honestly,
set.
If WCW did this, the mindset would have been: wait a second, we have to make another belt that's going to be like $20,000. And they would just say, well, we're not spending the $20,000 to make a new belt. We'll just, you know, he's got to drop the belt and do whatever. Right. You know? So that's two ways you look at it. If you're the office, either do what they did and you make another belt. If they got no problem making another belt, it's not cheap. You know, you have two belts. Who cares?
All right. You want
to that was complaining much ado about nothing. There,
yes.
To be honest with you. Right. Okay, go ahead.
Fake news. You were the subject of a fake news story.
Oh, yeah. What'd they say? I was running for president. No. No, I voted. No, what'd they say?
You switched your support.
I switched. Yeah.
What do you make of all the fake news and it affects
If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read it, you're misinformed.
So what do you do?
That's a great question. What is the long-term effect of too much information? One of the effects is the need to be first, not even to be true anymore. So what a responsibility you all have to tell the truth, not just to be first, but to tell the truth. We live in a society now where it's just first. Who cares? Get it out there. We don't care who it hurts. We don't care who we destroy. We don't care if it's true. Just say it. Sell it. Anything you practice, you'll get good at, including BS.
You told me last time.
Okay. But you heard me?
I actually said that a year ago. I said it doesn't matter anymore if you're right. It's who's first.
And that's an old
I
clip,
said
too.
The same thing right. a year ago, but that's I've never old, seen this before.
Yeah, that's an old clip, too. And he's been spot. Like I said, that is spot on.
Yeah.
Like he just nailed it right on the head, you know, perfect. So.